Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Well, good morning. Thank God we're a church that just goes with God. We're not into programs. We're not into things should be this way at this moment because we've always done it that way. Thank God that we're flexible and we respond to God when he calls. I just want to read to you this morning out of Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and mighty warrior. They lie down together, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a lamp wick. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it and will not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers and the desert. God will make a way where there is no way. And you know, this thing has been going through my brain for about 6 weeks. God will make a way where there is no way. And I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it. And, you know, God spoke to me this morning and, you know, he said to me, there's people here this morning where the lid has been on you so tight, so tight. And it's been like you've been stuck in this place where you couldn't move and you couldn't see within the four walls of what the place that you were stuck in, the box that you were stuck in. The lid was so tight you couldn't get out. And it might have been that people have come around you in your life over time and they've spoken into your life in a negative way that shut you down, that's boxed you in, that's put a lid on you that you could not break through. Well, I want to say and I want to declare over your lives this morning, if that's you, that God will make a way where there seems no way. He wants to lift the lid off our lives. He wants to bring freedom to our lives. He wants to break off all the negative things that have come into our spirits from people. Maybe it's from family as you were growing up. Maybe it's from a work colleague. Maybe it was from your closest friend that didn't understand and judgment and envy got in their heart and they spoke over you negatively. If this word is for you this morning, receive it, that God will make a way where there seems no way. We're not supposed to live a captive life. We're not supposed to live a life that's bound by four walls and a perimeter where we could not go out. God has made a way. And I thank God for that because if he didn't, I would always be stuck. And a life that's always stuck with no hope is a bad life. But, you know, we don't believe in that. We believe in faith. We believe in hope. We believe that God makes good of things that are bad in our life. He makes good. He turns things. He lifts the lid. You know, he makes the way in the desert. And it doesn't take much. But I really want to speak to you this morning about that. What do you do when you're waiting for God to make a way? Where there seems to be no way. What are you doing when you're in the desert? What are you doing when you're in the holding pattern? What do you do? I think it's the hardest bit of life. When you know that there is something more for you, but you can't move. And you try everything to move and nothing's working. And people, as I said, come around your life who don't understand what's going on in your life and they're not making it better. About Job's friends, they didn't make it better. But God can make it better. You know, life is full of choices, wrong and right. And sometimes we make good choices and sometimes we make bad choices. That's just life. We don't always fully know everything before we make a choice, do we? We just go out in faith. We just, because we have to make choices and decisions every day of our life. If we didn't, we wouldn't be able to live life, basically. We wouldn't get anywhere. We've got to make decisions from the smallest decision to the biggest. And they don't always go to plan. But God will make a way. And the biggest thing that, you know, when we make decisions, good or bad, particularly bad, the biggest thing that people use against us is shame when you make a decision and it doesn't go right. They try to shame you. I can't believe you made that decision. What were you thinking? Look at what's happened because you've made that decision. Shame is a powerful tool in the wrong person's hands. And, you know, a lot of times we live in shame, in a holding pattern of shame. Jesus has come to set us free from shame. He's come to give us a purpose. He's come to give us something bigger than ourselves to live for. He's come to bring us freedom. And he turns things. Even in the natural, he turns things. I've been doing art since I was a child, really, being an artist. My mum was an artist. And I remember selling my first painting at school to a school teacher, bought my art. And I continued on in my life and did a bit of art. But I mostly just did art on the side and you know, gave art to lots of friends and family and never really thought much of it and thought I'd really like to do something more with my art. But I'd have to be honest, I didn't really believe that my art was any good, that anybody else would really appreciate it. And I really felt this year was going to be the year. I was going to do something different and I didn't know how to do it because normally you need to have a website and you need to be technical in that, and I'm not technical, not at all. And at the same time, Keith was thinking he'd like to do a business on the side, and he tried a couple of things and we, you know, it all seemed a bit too hard. It was just too hard. Our lives are busy anyway, but this just seemed a bit too hard. And I remember I was thinking, oh, well, you know, I can't see this happening. There is no way for this to happen. I'll just do what I've always done and that'll be it. And I walked into the art shop at Tuggerah and I had some bubble wrap with me because I was thinking maybe I could learn how to ship my own art. And this lady said at the counter, oh, what are you doing with that? Are you shipping your art? I said, oh, look, I'm maybe thinking about it, but I don't really know where to start. And she said, oh, there's a lady that comes in here and she actually ships her own art and packages it and sells it and quite successful. And I said, well, how does she do it? And she gave me the name of this website. And at that moment, to me, it was pretty much like a God whisper. Just in a moment by somebody who I didn't know. And it was just a moment that changed my direction. And so I looked up the website and it seemed easy and I loaded up my art and now I've got a page and now I sell my art. I've sold a few pieces this year, amazingly. And now I've got my own packer, Keith, because I've got to ship my own art, but I'm no good with packing. So he's my partner, my business partner, and he packs my art. And so that's the way that God's been leading us this year in our own lives. And it was like, God, you made a way where there seemed to be no way, even in the natural. And it wasn't hard in the end. It took a God whisper to change my direction. And I want to encourage you this morning to look out for the God whisper. Because God's always doing things behind the scenes. Because he wants us to go forward. Because he has lots of things for us to do. And sometimes they're things that, you know, don't make any sense to us. But they make sense to somebody else. They're going to bless somebody else. And you're going to be used to do that. What a great thing. You're going to be used in who you are to bless somebody else. with what you have, not with what you haven't got. About the woman with the oil, and her husband had died, and she was pretty broke, and she had lots of debts that her husband had left. She had a son, and they had their last meal ready. That's all they had left, was their last meal. Pretty sad. And the prophet turned up, and she was preparing the last meal, and the prophet said, "What have you got? What have you got? What do you got left?" "Well, I've got this food." So he asked her to prepare the meal, and basically, it was a God whisper. He told her to get as many jars as possible and go and knock on your neighbor's doors, get as many jars as possible. And God filled them miraculously with oil like that. And oil back then was so expensive. It was worth, you know, whatever wages of the time, a year's wages, whatever. And the oil kept miraculously coming in these jars until she had no jars left. She was able to pay her debts. Her son and her lived because they were preparing to die after their last meal. And all they did was use what they had, and God made a way. And he sent the prophet and he made a way. And, you know, this is not just a story. You know, we live or should live like this in a plane above our own thinking. See, God is much bigger than how we think, and he operates in a much bigger way than we can. And it's in those desperate times that God makes a way. It's not rocket science, really, but you really have to let your mind go and let your heart reign, because God wants to move in ways above our thinking, above ways that we can try and work out ourselves. And sometimes it's just a God whisper where things change. You know, we serve a God that allows us really, no matter what's happening, to live an epic life. Are you living an epic life? Yes, no. Are you living an epic life? You know, God came to bring us life and life abundant no matter what we're facing. We don't advertise, "Come to Christ and you'll have a perfect life." Some do, but it's not reality. Come to Christ and you'll have somebody who cares for you, somebody who knows you, somebody who knows your thoughts, somebody who stands with you and walks through you with you through the hard times and the good times. Somebody who continuously encourages you to look up and above what's going on right now. That's the life in Christ we live, an epic life. And, you know, God makes a way in the most impossible situations. When I was thinking about it, I just couldn't get this out of my head. God will make a way where there is no way. God will make a way. I was thinking about the Red Sea, and I was thinking about Moses, and I was thinking about the people of Israel that, you know, were in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, and they finally got out. And they're walking in the desert or in the wilderness or whatever, or they're on their way, and they get out, and then Pharaoh changes his mind. Something changes in his heart. And basically he decides to track down the people of Israel and kill them. So, you know, gets 600, I think it's 600 chariots and all these men, and goes, "No, we really need those people of Israel. They're our slaves. They do all of our work. No, we're not going to let them go even though we agreed to." They change their mind and they start chasing the people of Israel. Now, those people would have been absolute fear. You know, all the emotions that would have been going through them. You know, "I've just finally got out of this place. I've got out of prison. We're free." Oh, no, we're not. And so in their desperate time, in their most desperate time, God whispers to Moses and he makes a way where there is no way in the middle of a sea. That's pretty out there, in the middle of a sea. Moses holds up his staff, dedicates himself again to God. The sea opens, and these people, children of Israel, or the tribe of Israel, walk through the sea to get to the other side. God will make a way where it seems so impossible. They were in absolute fear and God made a way. And in fact, they crossed, and as they were crossing, the others, the Pharaoh's people of Egypt were catching up and the sea started to close. And basically the people who from Egypt that stepped into the sea, they died because the sea started to close because God was making a way for his people. If God can open the sea, he can make a way for you. That's what it comes down to. That's as simple as it is, even if you're in a period of fear, even if you're in a period where you are lacking hope, God will make a way. Don't sell out your birthright before he makes a way. Do you believe that you all have a purpose? Do you believe you were born to do something on this earth? Because you are. Every single one of you are born with a purpose. You're born with a birthright. You're born to do something to make an impact in your patch, whether big or small. But, you know, sometimes when we're waiting for the breakthrough to happen or for life to change or the situation change, we sell out. We sell out, you know. And like Esau, you know, the story of Esau where he really didn't think his birthright mattered, really. He really didn't take it seriously. He's probably just a young guy, had other things on his mind, and virtually his hunger took over his birthright, which is a bit silly, really. And, you know, I studied it up a bit and it said in ancient times the birthright was a very important and sacred thing. It belonged to the firstborn. The family name and the titles were to pass along to the eldest son. He would also receive a chief portion of the inheritance, which was a lot. But it was more than just a title. It was the physical assets of the family. You know, it was a spiritual position in the family, the birthright. So when Jacob, his brother, had cooked some stew, Esau came in from the field and he was hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I'm famished." So Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." He was smart and deceptive. "Sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die, so of what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew and he ate it and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know, that says it in Genesis 25:29-34. But you know, we all have a birthright, and when we're in that holding pattern and we're waiting for something to happen and we get to that place of desperation and we think God's not listening, he is listening. But you can't give up before it happens. You can't sell off your purpose. You can't be like the disciples that say after Jesus died, they said, "That's it, we're going fishing." You can't do that. You've got a life to live in Christ. You've got a purpose. You've got a destiny to fulfill. You've got a birthright, an entitlement by God. How awesome is that to have that? But a lot of people do. They just sell it off. They just walk away. It's all too much. It's all too hard. You know, in those times is where you find a new place with God. It's in those hard times when you change. It's in those hard times where your response to things become different. You know, a lot of you know about our house and, you know, we've been talking about our house probably for 3.5 years, just a bit of a long time. We sold our house about 3.5 years ago and we bought this off-the-plan house at Terrigal and we were very excited about it. You know, I've always wanted to live near the beach and I grew up near the beach. And so all we did was go out in faith and make a decision. That's all we could do. And at the time, you know, all the signs made sense and we did it. But it has been a very long journey. And it, from time to time, it's like, God, are you going to make a way? Because there just seems no way. There just seems no end to this story. But we're starting, and it's a slow process, we're starting to see a turn after 3.5 years. We're starting to see a turn. And through this time, we've had in the holding pattern, we've had to go on a new journey with God. Forced, really. Not manufactured, but forced. You either decide to trust God, you either decide to kick your heels in and say, I'm standing no matter what. You either decide that whatever happens, whether we have that house or we don't, we're going to continue to serve God. Unless you make that stand, you give up before the breakthrough comes. And let me tell you, church, when you're going through things like that, you need encouragement. I was saying to a couple of people in the church the other day, please come and see us if you're going to encourage us about our house. If you're going to speak faith into our situation, please come and talk to us. If you're going to say, God's with you, he's gone before you, he's going to make right what has been wrong. If you're going to come and encourage us, please come and see us. But there are people in their wisdom that sometimes don't encourage. They just judge the situation. You know, like, I can't believe you made that decision. You know, like, that wasn't the right thing to do, obviously, because it's not turning out. Why don't you just get out of all of it? Yeah, right. Why don't we just walk away from a whole heap of money? Maybe not. You know, like, people judge in their own eyes, don't they? And I'm sure you've had that in situations yourself where you've been holding on. You've been standing in faith no matter what. And people have come up to your life without knowing, you know, in the goodness of their heart, but they've brought judgment to the situation. And they've brought discouragement, not encouragement. We need encouragement. You and I, we have to encourage ourselves continuously through this life. And that's why we come on a Sunday. You can come through that door and feel so discouraged. And you can leave out that door feeling encouraged. Because we are a church of encouragement. We are not a church of judgment. We are a church of encouragement. We are a church that gets behind each other and says, you can do it. You can do it. You're not alone. You've got God and you've got us. You're not alone. You know, Blyn and Anthony at the moment are in Queensland at a work conference, but, you know, we run this church together and we have really good times and we have really hard times as well. We all work full-time in other jobs and we run this and we lead this church. But it's because of not only God, it's because of you guys that we keep doing what we're doing because you encourage us. And, you know, when we're not able to get around everybody because we're doing life at the same time, you get around each other and you encourage each other and you minister to each other because we are a community church. And that means that's our whole church. We are all the church. And that's such a blessing to us. We are an encouraging church. We are a down-to-earth church. You know, a lot of people come in and say, I love this church, and I say, why? And they say, because it's real and you can be yourself. You can be yourself. Well, it's the only way to be. Gone are the days of being something else or having the need to feel to be this holy person that God didn't ask you to be. He asked you to be yourself and to grow in his glory and wisdom over time and to trust him and to follow him. But he didn't ask you to be perfect because you can't be. None of us make the grade. We all stuff up. You're called to be yourself and to allow God to work with you and lead you and guide you and strengthen you and be your peace in the time of chaos and in the time of stress and to encourage you. And we're that church. And I love that about our church. Many of us have been Christians for a long time, all my life, 40 years. We've seen it all. Not always in the good, you know. And God is doing a new thing. Like that scripture in Isaiah says, it says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it and will not give heed to it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert." God is doing a new thing. Capture that. Get hold of that. Believe it for yourself that God is doing a new thing. If you are struggling right now, if you are struggling, if you work and you're struggling with your work colleagues or you've been bullied, believe for God to do a new thing and move in your life. If you are having relationship problems, you've had breakdowns in relationships, believe that God can do a new thing where there is no way that you can physically see for Him to do that. If you've got financial issues and you've done everything that you can do to make it right, believe that God can make a way where there has been no way. He can turn things. Church, you've got to get excited about this. You've got to get hold of this because this is the way to live an epic life, is to trust God in the storm. In the storm. You know, we trust God all the time. We're leading this church. We just trust God. We haven't got it all together. We trust God that He's going to lead us and guide us. He's going to grow this church. We're going to be able to reach out to the community because we've got a great story of Jesus, how He came and how He got us when we were in a bad place. And He saved us and He brought us freedom and He brought us something to live for. And He gave us hope. He gave us a reason to live. He gave us a future. He gave us that peace and that strength to go on. What an awesome deal. We've got something to be excited about. We can live an epic life. It's not something, your calling or your purpose in life is not something that you can just put down. It will always be there. And you'll always know because it's always there. God never forgets us. Even when we go off and do our own thing sometimes, God never forgets us. He never leaves us. Our purpose and our calling, they follow us wherever we go. And you can try and bury it. You can try and say, no more, I've had enough. But it'll come around again. It'll come around again. I've been doing churches for over 20 years. There are times when I'd like to give up. Really? There are times when I go, this is all too much. This is too much work. I'm not up to this. But it never leaves you because we're designed that way. And, you know, it's better not to fight God because you know what? You're not going to win. You're not going to win. You just got to go with Him. You know, I was in a church service when I was about 22 and we were tossing up whether we were going to lead a church we're in at the time or not and what we were going to do, and it was all over the place, what decision to make. And I was in a church service that I'd never been to before in Sydney, and somebody come up, and because we believe in the prophetic, we believe that God moves and speaks to us, this person came up, didn't know me, and said, "Don't sell your birthright. God has made a way. Don't sell your birthright." And I was like, "Really? Okay, that's the deal. Don't sell your birthright. Don't give up. Keep going. Ask God to move on your behalf in a new way. If you've been around the same roundabout all your life, ask Him to stop it and move in a new way. If you need support and prayer, ask Leslie and Ray." There you go. Shifting responsibility. Ask Leslie and Ray and everybody else who loves to pray for other people and intercession to pray with you, for God to move, for a way to come where there's been no way. Don't give up when the battle's nearly finished, church, because it'll come. You know, our blessing and our story of our own situation and our house situation, there will be an ending to it, and God will move, and it will be miraculous. Whatever happens will be miraculous. I know that, and I declare that. And I want to declare that over your lives. You know, it's what happens. Sometimes we can be that dormant seed in the ground, and it's what happens to the soil that helps us grow again. How we feed the soil with what we believe and what we speak and how we perceive other things. You know, over the last year, I've met so many people that love to tell me all about their house and come to me for advice on their house, designing their house and buying a house and all these things and how God is blessing their house. I must admit, I did struggle. I got a bit jealous, a bit, why not me? But that's not feeding the soil of my seeds. It's not putting fertilizer in. It's killing the soil. Envy, jealousy, judgment. The why not me kills the soil of the seed. But encouragement and patience and faith and hope grow the seed in the soil for new shoots to come. And we want to be a church of new shoots, not just dormant seeds. I mean, dormant seeds can sprout out at the right time and it has to be the right environment. But you got to put the right things in the soil. Be the church that puts the right things in the soil, not the other ones, because you'll be tested. And I knew. And it just kept going, like week after week after week. And people rang me for advice. And I'm like, I'm the last person you want to get advice off. The last. But see, I had to step out of a place from shame. You know, we felt shame when things went wrong. Have we made the right decision? Oh, we've stuffed up. Shame is there to kill you and shut you down and not make a way. But God didn't bring shame. Jesus didn't come to the earth to bring shame. He came to the earth to bring freedom and peace and hope. Thank God for that. Oh, dear. God will make a way, church. Just in finishing, I love this psalm. It's encouraging. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is for you and that is for me, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever with God in control. You know, church, you're not alone. You haven't been forgotten. You're in the making of the chief artist. He is making you and I, fashioning you and I, molding you into something new. For God is doing a new thing. Get on board. Get on board, church. He's doing a new thing. Won't you be standing with me this morning? Father, we thank you this morning that you are doing a new thing. We thank you that, you know, we're not a people of judgment, but we're a people of passion, willing to go wherever you go and do whatever is required at whatever time. We thank you that we're not a church that sits back and spectates. We thank you that we participate with what you have given us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Your ways are above ours. We thank you that you make a way where there seems to be no way. Right now, Father, I thank you that you're doing that right now in this place. You've lifted the lid off our lives. You've broken strongholds of places that have kept us captive. You've brought freedom into situations. You're turning things that haven't been turned for a long time. Father, I thank you. And Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that you've got it all in your hand. And we just give over ourselves again to you, Father. Lord, have your way in our lives. Have your way. You know, if you're in this place this morning and you don't know this God I'm talking about and you want to get to know him more, would you, church, as together as a body today, pray with me? Father, I thank you. Lord, I hand over my life and my stuff. Lord, please forgive me and give me a new life, a fresh start with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, church. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.